brings us together. Actually, our family was playing last night a board game that was pretty cool. But we're continuing our series. It's called Then Hope Came, and we're giving just some special attention this month to this message of hope, that when Jesus Christ was born, hope was born on earth. So in week one, we talked about hope is certain. Hope is not wishful thinking. It is certain. And both Hebrew and Greek, the word for hope describes something that is definite, that is certain. It's not like the guy who fell from a 50-story building, and you know, halfway down, someone leans out the window and says, "How you doing?" And he says, "So far, so good." Okay, that's a false hope. Okay, but the hope that we have is the hope that is anchored in truth and anchored in Christ. So the next week, we found, this is just last week, that hope is near. It's not a distant thing. It is close. It is current. It is now. It is a hope that we can grab hold of today. It is a hope that we can find in the midst of even our darkest moments on earth. And today we're going to be in the book of Isaiah. So if you want to turn with me, we're going to be in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Isaiah is in the book of the Old Testament. And so if you cut your Bible in half with your hand and then move to the left about an inch, you should land maybe a half inch. You should land at Isaiah. Isaiah 61. So in this passage, or in the book of Isaiah, he paints this picture of a future hope, And here in the book of Isaiah, and in chapter 61 in particular, it's important that before we start to read, that we grab some context and we understand some things that have happened leading up to this point. In chapter one of Isaiah, it describes this book as being a vision of Isaiah. And so here's what's going on. Isaiah is a prophet. He is sent by God to deliver a message for his people. And he is delivering this message, which is really a vision. And these are things that have not taken place yet, okay, that are coming in the future. And it's the book of Isaiah, we'll find a lot of prophecies about Christ. He is, I think, the most quoted prophet in the New Testament. He has quoted the most, I think, 65 times quoted in the New Testament. Here's what Isaiah is doing: is he's describing these events that were about to take place in the future. And in chapter one, God is addressing the problem. And here's the problem. Chapter 1, verse 2, he calls the people of Israel a rebellious children. He calls them a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. He calls them an unfaithful city. They had gone their own way. They had brought in foreign idols and began to worship these foreign idols. Their hearts had turned away from the Lord and turned towards these idols. And so in chapter 1, verse 25, God tells them, "I will turn my hand against you." And so there is this impending judgment, this impending punishment for the sins of the people. And so from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 39, Isaiah, he describes how God will use the Babylonians, which is this vicious army that's led by King Nebuchadnezzar, that God will use the Babylonians to destroy both Jerusalem and Judah, which the northern and the southern kingdom. Remember, after Solomon, the kingdom was split into a northern and southern kingdom. And so this was all because the people had turned their hearts from the Lord. So Isaiah paints this grim picture at the beginning. But not only does he describe those terrible 70 years that God's people would be under the rule of the Babylonians, he describes a day that they'd be freed from the Babylonians. And ultimately, and you'll see here in a minute, this is a messianic prophecy, so that means he's speaking about Jesus and how one day the Messiah would come and rescue his people. The name Isaiah actually means the Lord is salvation. His message is a message of salvation. It is a message of hope. So in chapter 61, Isaiah, he's addressing the time when these Babylonians would be conquered and that they would be removed and God's people would be sort of dispersed and kind of left kind of wandering around. And listen, this is exactly what happened. And when the Babylonians did come, many years later, just as Isaiah had envisioned that they would, and the people after the Babylonians were removed, the people were lost. They were scattered. They were discouraged. They were bankrupt. They felt hopeless. You probably remember me describing this time last week because we looked at the book of Lamentations. And it was just a tough, difficult time for them. Imagine the despair. And maybe if you, some of you are going through some things right now, and today's message might just be a message of hope for you. So they're wondering how God could ever rebuild them and restore them. And so let's look what Isaiah says. He writes in chapter 61. You're going to see this on the screen, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So again, this is prophecy. He's speaking in the days ahead and what's to come, and he's speaking of how one day God will step in and bring peace to Israel. And so you'll notice he mentions in verse 2, I want you to notice something here. He mentions the year of the Lord's favor. And so the background of this passage is the year of Jubilee that we see described in Leviticus 25:7. And Isaiah, he calls it the year of the Lord's favor. Let me explain what that is, because it's very important to this passage. Every 7 years, the Jews were supposed to observe the sabbatical year, which was a year of rest, where the land rests and there's no farming. They take a rest and they give the land rest. Well, after seven sabbaticals, so that means seven, right? Seven sabbaticals, that's 49 years. There's a 50th year. That's the year of Jubilee. And listen to what happens in the 50th year. These were the Jews. The Jews practiced this for centuries. During that year, all debt was canceled. All debt. Any debt owed to any man was absolutely canceled. They were free of that debt. All of the land gets to be returned to the original owners. So land that you once owned 20 years ago in your family, you take possession of that land again. And the slaves were set free in the year of Jubilee. And everybody was given a fresh start and a new beginning. And isn't that what we need? Amen? A fresh start, a new beginning, a year of Jubilee. But God's people only knew this to be a very practical way of caring for the poor and governing their people and forgiving debt. It was just a sort of a practical thing. But there was something far more significant that was conveyed through the year of Jubilee. something, a far greater hope, something very significant, something very deep and very spiritual about the year of Jubilee. And so you'll see here in a minute, this passage, it points to Jesus. And Peter calls Jesus this living hope. We just sang about living hope, a hope that liberates us, a hope that motivates us. And so in Christ, our hope is not, it's not only certain and it's not only near, like we've talked about for the last couple weeks, but it is active, it is living, it is alive. It is a hope right now, and it is active. So what does that mean? Well, because of this living hope, it means that you can always bounce back. You can always bounce back. And I brought a friend, because we got a lot of the kids in here today. This is a family Sunday, and we've got a lot of kids here. I brought a friend. I'm going to introduce you to my friend, kids. Can everybody see this? This is Larry, the Christian Ninja. That's what I'm naming him. And here's what I want us to understand as believers. One thing that you can be assured of is that things will come against you. It's just like God's people in ancient Israel that we're reading about today. And the Assyrians came against them. The Babylonians came against them. And so you're going to have people coming against you. But here's the thing about hope, is that hope is active, and that means hope means you can always bounce back. You can always come back. And so I'm going to have the kids come up, and they're going to try to lay out Larry, the Christian Ninja. Every kid gets one hit to see if they can keep Larry, the Christian Ninja, down. How many of you think your child could probably put down Larry, the Christian? Okay, so come on up, kids. You get one hit. And my daughter's the first. Go ahead, Kendall. One hit. Look at him bouncing back. One hit, Cooper. Oh, Cooper went for the kick. Oh, back of the head. Okay. Oh. Whoa. He's going to end up in the parking lot. You keep kicking. We got a shoes coming off. You can bring him back over here. Bring him back over here. There you go. Okay, she's got a kid. Oh. Look at that. Go for it. Go for it, whatever. No. He almost stayed down that time. Okay, now, y'all go grab your seats. I'm not promoting violence, by the way. I just want to show you, and look. And listen, kids, you know this too. You know this as well as I do. There's going to be people, even at school, that are going to seek to knock you down. And there's going to be people in life, there's going to be circumstances in life that are going to try to keep you down. But here's the thing about this active hope that we find in Jesus Christ. It is a living hope, and it causes us to always bounce back. And one of the things that I'm discovering in my own life, and look, this is a message not just for kids, it's a message. Larry, the Christian Ninja, can teach the adults a thing or two also. But here's what happened. Thank you, Kendall. And here's the thing also. On Christmas Eve night, you could own Larry, the Christian Ninja, and you could take Larry home with you. I'm going to give him away on Christmas Eve. But That'll make every kid in here want to come back on Christmas Eve night. It doesn't matter if you're if you're in Florida, they're going to want to drive back, right? But so here's what happens is Isaiah, he sees this vision. The only thing we can assume is that this message is for the people who had lived for 70 years under this bondage, under the Babylonians. But I want you to turn with me. You're going to see it on the screen in Luke chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus is beginning his ministry on earth. He steps into a synagogue, sort of like a church. There's people in there. And he stands up and someone hands him a scroll, which is the book of Isaiah that we were just reading. And they hand him the scroll, and in verse 17 it says this, "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him," was given to Jesus. 700 years later, this is taking place. This should cause all of us to stand up and take notice. Listen to this. 700 years later, the scroll of Isaiah, this writing way back 700 years prior, is handed to Jesus. And it says, he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant. And he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. They were all looking at Jesus. Why did he just read this? Verse 21, "And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" And so what Jesus says, what he is saying, "I am the fulfillment of this prophecy." So why did God give his people this foresight into the future? He knew this rebellious children. He knew that they needed hope. And here's just a few things that we learn from this passage and what Jesus says. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he has anointed him to proclaim, it says in verse 18, proclaim the good news for the poor. This is uplifting news. The spiritually poor will be filled. Their cup will run over. They will be filled. There is hope for those who are poor in spirit. And then he says, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who are the captives? It is us apart from Christ. Anyone who lives apart from Christ, who have not put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, apart from Christ, we are living in darkness. We are living in captivity. Captivity to what? You are captive to sin. Sin is holding you captive. You are imprisoned. And Jesus comes out and he says, I've come to proclaim liberty for those who are captive. And then he says, recovery of sight to the blind. All who live in darkness are blind. Jesus is the light. And he opens the eyes. He opens our spiritual eyes that we can see. And so he says, when he comes, or when he came to bring this good news to the poor, the spiritually poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover sight for the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Who are oppressed? Every person who is a slave to sin is oppressed. Any person that is not free from sin, and only Jesus Christ can set you free. And then it says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Listen, another thing, listen to what this fulfills. Jesus is the year of Jubilee. He is the fulfillment of the year of Jubilee. So what does that mean? Well, it's the year that you cancel debt. It's a year that the slaves are set free. And so what Jesus says is when he comes, and now that he's here, we find that this message from Isaiah is a message of hope. It's a message of setting the captives free. It is a message of giving sight to the blind. It is a message that proclaims that Jesus is the fulfillment of the year of Jubilee and that there is hope in him. And so Isaiah was given this message to a people who were physically struggling and spiritually struggling. But he also was giving this message for us today. So what does all of this mean? It means hope. It means hope. It means continued active hope that never dies. It means that you can bounce back now. It means that you have hope. You can be a Larry the Christian Ninja, okay? It means this hope has made you unstoppable. It is certain. It is near. It is active. You're going to see this on the screen. Hope is certain. It's near. In today's message, it's active. He aims to produce this inner freedom in us. That no matter what things look like today, and no matter what we're heading into, there's this message of hope. And let me ask you a question. Do you know this hope in your own life? Hope is active. It renews us. It restores us. It motivates us. It activates us. It pulls us out. It causes us to bounce back. And do you have that kind of hope in your life today? And listen, there's nothing worse than living a life in discouragement. Discouragement is a disease. Don't waste another day giving your life over to discouragement. I've never heard a person who was going through a difficulty in a relationship say, "Hey, I'm so encouraged, but I'm going through a difficulty in a relationship." I've never heard a person who feels like giving up, but they feel very encouraged. It's always because they're discouraged. This issue of discouragement, don't let it rob you. Don't let it rob you of this hope. This hope is active, and it's for today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word given by Isaiah, this message that Jesus has come to be our year, our life of Jubilee, to set the captives free, to give sight to all who are blind, who have lived in darkness. I pray for that person that's here today that has been so distant from you, Lord. They have gone their own way, much like the people of Israel did. They're looking for answers in the world, looking to get filled up, to find satisfaction in the things of this world. And we know that only you satisfy, Lord Jesus, only you. All our hope rests in you. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.